Moolala is brought to you by the nonprofit credit counseling agency, Credit Canada. We talk a lot about kids and money on this show, and often it's like cash flow and savings and managing debt and all that stuff. But our next guest believes there is a place for investing when it comes to financial literacy for young people. And one particular strategy has caught his attention that he has real passion about, and that's dividend paying stocks. Interesting topic. Our guest, Pavi Tour, he runs a nonprofit called Young Guns Weightlifting and Boxing. He's the author of Learn to Invest Kid, and he joins us now from Mission, BC. Hello there.
Hi, Bruce. Thanks for having me.
I said the title of the book fairly straight up, but as I read it, it sounds like if I were to say it to my 14-year-old, it would sound like this: Learn to Invest, Kid. So is there pointing that happens when you deliver the title of the book? Like, come on.
Well, that's up to you. I try not to point because my kids are now getting bigger than me. So I try to talk in sort of the advisor role as opposed to the old school dad role.
Sure. We're going to get to the content of the book in a second, but the story starts before that. Tell us about Young Guns.
So Young Guns was started in December 2019, just before the pandemic. And I started it as a free youth weightlifting and boxing club. So it was free for kids, mainly because my own son, who was 15 at the time, the oldest one, he was playing basketball. There was no sort of weightlifting training program for athletes in my area. So either you had a personal trainer, which costs a lot, or you gave your kid a gym pass and they had to figure it out themselves. So we reserved some gym space. We had a personal trainer. Worked up to about 15 kids. I was part of the program as well. And just working on the basics to improve athletic performance. And yeah, it took off from there. And to fund it, we sold merchandise, our own club merchandise.
Right, merch. Okay, so now make the connection here. You obviously had young people hanging around a gym. All that was, I'm sure, turned upside down with the pandemic. How did the book come to be?
Well, it was also during the time during the pandemic, my younger son, who was 13, and this kind of hit me. He came home one day and he was talking about various cryptocurrency and how everybody was investing. And then, Dad, we got to get into GameStop because, well, everyone's making money.
Oh, geez.
But, and yeah. He was 13. And this was everywhere. Remember at the time it was on, I believe, all these NHL games, all these celebrities were talking about it. No one knew anything about it, but everybody was talking about it. And at that point, I realized, okay, we got to start teaching you, both of you, about investments, about dividends and everything else. And I didn't have all the answers myself. So it started with a problem and, okay, let's write this out. Let's see what sticks. And after many rewrites, and we started off with a blog on learntoinvestkid.com. And we just worked on real short posts, put them up. And then once I lost their attention, we stopped the post. So you'll see through the book, some chapters are shorter than others. Some go into details. And then we use a lot of superhero themes, and we use movie stars, as you've seen in there, sort of what mistakes they've made. So it's not just about successes. It's also about failures. Mm. But getting these kids to think about long term. So don't tell me what happened last week.
The thing that struck me about the book as being unique from the many that we have covered over the years is this focus on blue chip dividend paying stocks. So there's a lot of general stuff out there, but yeah. I hadn't seen anything that focuses on this particular niche of the investing world. Why do you think it's important for kids to learn about this in particular?
I think it takes sort of the hype away from the investing end of things, like especially in the last little couple of years where everything's on YouTube or TikTok. You know, it kind of goes back to the basics. Our first stock was Suncor Energy. And the reason why we picked Suncor Energy was every time I had to fill up at the Petro-Canada gas station in town, I always spoke, let's say, colorful French, and the kids would hear it. And yeah. From there they go, oh, so, you know, we get gas. They obviously make profits. Let's start there. So a lot of these stocks, my kids play sports. So they have their favorite sports teams. That was easier to make the connection with them as opposed to just going into ETFs, mutual funds, and everything right away. So they would identify with the companies, the logos, they'd see it everywhere in town. And those are the companies I zeroed in on. So we focused specifically on those companies as opposed to making it broad-based.
Conceptually, it's a big idea. And I love that you're teaching young people about buying a stock that may appreciate over time, but while you wait for that appreciation to occur, you can bring home a dividend. You can have this passive income that's a function of the profitability of the company. That said, not all dividend payers are blue chip. How do you screen for them? How do you ensure that you're getting you know, like a big bank dividend yield versus one that may be super, super high, but also super, super risky.
I think a lot of it came down to when I was working with my own kids, if they couldn't put it on one page.
So for our radio listeners, Pavi just showed me a couple of pages of, it would almost look like infographics you were showing me there.
Yeah, they just started coloring. Like the first one we did was VCE. That was a stock that they wanted to purchase. And mainly because, you know, through the various partnerships, they own the Raptors and, you know, our cell phone plans are through VCE. And then, you know, I said, like, let's start with the basics. And, you know, my older son was taking accounting in grade 11 by that time. So just put down the basics, you know, what's the market cap? How much is the profits? When was the first dividend issued with VCE? I mean, the first one was 1881. So what are the chances they're going to cut the dividend or stop it altogether? So those kinds of sort of facts, and usually once they did that, if they were to explain it in one page, we're like, it's good. Let's invest.
There are a lot of pop culture references in your book. Tony Stark, Superman, Doctor Strange. If you were to choose one, which one would you choose? And what concept would you demonstrate with that character?
I think the lesson learned for the one that really stuck with my boys is probably Doctor Strange. Because in the movie, sorry, because that's the one we can easily make reference to. You know, he went from living the high life in New York City as a surgeon, hands get crushed, and then, you know, a few minutes later, he's penniless in Nepal. Well, that was one of the references where I hit them, like, you know, had he invested his money, he probably would have had passive income, and that probably would have helped him out a little bit. Like, you know, Tony Stark's and Batman were basically gone, whether 3 months or 6 years, and guess what? They make a call, they get their private jet, they come back in, they haven't missed a beat. So there's a big difference between passive income and going and working every day, and then once that salary income stops, what do you do? So I think that kind of hit him at a young age.
For all parents, and more so for some than others, teaching kids about delayed gratification is a huge challenge. Like, we want people to invest both in, you know, financial markets, but also in their education and in their physical and mental health. How do you navigate the challenge of thinking long-term for a human brain that is not yet fully formed?
I think there's some things that we can do. Like for one of the things I did is when I subscribed to the Globe and Mail. So I got my sons to, it comes in every day, print edition. It's not online version. And what they basically have to do is take out their articles and they have to basically highlight, you know, what they thought was interesting. How does it apply to their stock? Where are some other investing ideas? And usually, you know, they'll read it for about an hour, mark it all up, and then, okay, you know, I think that was good. And what that started to do was they weren't so concerned about the daily movements of the stock prices of the stocks that they own. And they started thinking a little bit more longer term because, you know, investing is reading, thinking, doing nothing, reading, thinking, doing nothing. And then maybe in a year, one to two trades, and that's it. And that's what I try to do. So even if we're losing money on some stocks, I still say, you know, you're not really losing money. You're learning something. So, you know, we're not going to sell. And then you're going to see if your story changes.
Who did this for you? So you're clearly making a difference for the kids in your home and for the kids who read this book. Who is your money mentor? Or did you learn this stuff the hard way?
I learned it the hard way, but I think books do help. I remember when I was in high school, this is back in the late 90s, one of our teachers brought in the book, The Wealthy Barber. So that kind of opened your eyes up to, you know, investing, saving, just the basics. And then when I was in university and I was on the business program, the book that probably had the biggest impact, and I still have the book that I bought in 1997, was Peter Lynch's Beating the Street. And the reason why that stuck to me was especially that one chapter where he works with these kids from grade 7 from a local elementary school, and they happen to pick some stocks that did very well and that beat out the professional money managers and doing sort of the same thing that I just talked about. So I still kept that book, and I use a lot of that as reference for my own book, and I make reference to that book. So that was probably a big one. And from there, just kept reading more and more books. And you learn by doing, right? It's one of those things where people say, well, should we teach financial literacy in schools? I'm like, yeah, you should. They have accounting classes and everything else. But I also think this is one of those things that investment clubs will probably teach kids a lot more, especially when there's real money involved, even if it's just $100. And so that's where I learned. I bought my first stock was... of our first two stocks for AT&T and Cisco in 1997.
Wow.
So I had a nice
run. Do you still hold them? Do you still hold AT&T and Cisco?
I sold those and I got into that tech fever like everyone else did. And I thought I was so smart making money off, you know, Nortel Networks and
MGI software.
So we lost money, got humble, learned some lessons. Then I thought I got smart again. Then the great financial crisis hit. But I think after that, I finally said, okay, I've been through two of these. Maybe these guys were right. Maybe just stick to dividends and go slow, buy sea and rail. And, you know, you still need railways, right? So things like that is what I started to focus in on then.
We don't have your sons beside you today, but if they were here, what do you think they would say about your engagement in this particular topic? I mean, once we got over the, ugh, that is so annoying, what would they say the benefits are of this?
I think for us personally, what started to click for them was when we raised enough money in the Young Guns Weightlifting Club, and then we started investing that money, and they realized when the dividends started coming in, and they realized, hey, we made double the money off dividends than we did off the entire year of fundraising. And I don't have to go door to door and sell merchandise. I don't have to sell my protein donuts, you know, at the local fair. I don't have to do, you know, parking at a music festival. We did that too. And yeah, like, wow, they just come in and they just come in and they just come in. And we don't need to do anything other than that. We just read. So I think that was the point where I merged Young Guns and this book and the ideal they thought of. So finally, they got it. And they're like, yeah, I think we're good now. This makes sense.
They don't have to sell the protein donuts, but I hope they still get to eat the protein donuts with the money they've earned from dividend paying stocks.
Yeah. Well, they enjoy their donuts. That's for sure.
I enjoy my donuts. Pavi Tur, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, Bruce. It was a pleasure.
Pavi Tur is a founder of Young Guns Weightlifting and Boxing Club, which you may wonder what the holy heck that has to do with money, but it gave birth to a philosophy and a book called Learn to Invest Kid, or Learn to Invest Kid.